You can see there at the end of verse 1, he that hateth reproof is brutish. That's a strong word. It's like an animal, a beast. Why do people hate reproof? It's not that you're whipping them and trying to correct them, but you're declaring Christ unto them, who is our wisdom. And they see that as a reproof. It reproves anything that has to do with man's will. It reproves anything that has to do with man's works. Anything that has to do with man's profession. I've had people get upset and leave here because they feel like I've targeted them in their profession. Rather hold on with a death grip to their profession than they would to look to Christ. They hate instruction. They hate knowledge. But the house of the righteous is the house of wisdom. Secondly, down there in verse 2, it's a house favored of the Lord. It says, a good man, a good one, obtaineth favor of the Lord. Well, there's only one good man. Christ said that. Why do you call me good? When he said that to the lawyer who called him good master. It wasn't that he was pushing back on that title, but it was that this particular lawyer didn't think of him as God in the flesh and still trying to call him good. So why do you call me good? There's none good but God. So here again, who's the good man that has obtained favor of the Lord? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the good man of the house. And by contrast, it says a man of wicked devices will he condemn. A man of wicked devices is one's up to no good. He doesn't want the good man of the house to have the glory. He wants part of the glory. But I'll tell you, God will not share his glory with others. Even in verse 21, this is why I say this isn't just about a death and a funeral, but who died and how he died. Here, very specifically, we read Hebrews 11 and verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped. Who did he worship? He wasn't worshiping Joseph. He was worshiping his God. Even in the face of death, leaned upon the top of his staff. And then at the end of chapter 50, we read the same thing. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones, that they be not left there, but carried on up. And that's what Israel did when the Lord delivered them out of Egypt. That was the thing they took along with them was the bones of Joseph. To be buried again. It was a statement of faith. To be buried there where these others had died, looking to Christ alone. And in Hebrews 11, verse 39 and 40, you can see this. These all have obtained a good report through faith. Remember I mentioned earlier, it might be in the call that the Lord is pleased to take one of us. Or it might be a violent death, as described here in verses 36, where others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, more over of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. Again, living in the world, but not of it. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. It's the Lord that determines our end, whether it's going to be a peaceful, quiet death, somewhere, or persecution. Mephibosheth even sat at the king's table. It wasn't because he had anything to offer to David. He was lame from a fall. So he did not come endeavoring to impress David with his presence. Just the opposite. When it says here that he came down to meet the king and had neither dressed his feet nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. What was that all about? Well, this was a time of mourning for him. The fact that the king was gone. And this was how his mourning was manifest. That he would not wash they would not trim the nails of his feet. So it indicates some time had gone by. How long does it take for toenails to grow out? Just don't trim them. There wasn't anything that he could think of to even beautify himself during the king's absence. Such was the attachment that he had for him. And you stop and think about this. This was during a time initially when Absalom would have been in power. And after a while, that mourning would have set Mephibosheth apart in Jerusalem while Absalom is there, to where people would ask, well, why aren't you bathing? Why aren't you taking care of yourself? And the answer is, I'm in mourning over King David. You can see, even there, it would have stood as a testimony of his attachment to David and his love for David.